collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
I'm gonna shut the fuck up for 30 seconds. You might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Wow, that's loud tonight, Jeffy. We're getting aggressive with it tonight.
Pumping it up.
We're getting fired up here. What's up, everybody? Fire. Plum Love Foods live right here on a Thursday. You know what it is, Jeffy? It's October 1st. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I absolutely can believe it.
Our pop-up shows that we were doing back in March, we were talking about the COVID, how we're going to survive here on the East Coast. The sky is falling. New York is burning. Connecticut's falling apart. New Jersey isn't even there anymore, and yet here we stand. Late 2020, Jeffy, we are keeping it real, standing tall, standing loud, standing proud, still cooking food, throwing bowls, hundreds of pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. That's right. The Good Brothers, the faction, is still standing, Jeffy. The faction.
Absolutely, man. Jiggling and shaking.
Here's like my bacon problem. I built that all up, and you literally, like I was, like, building it up and, like, kicking it and talking about twisted steel and sex appeal, and you came in, like, and turned the volume down.
Oh, I was like Billy D. Williams. I was trying to be smooth.
But no, when we're kicking a promo as a tag team, you got to be with me. Keep the energy. Same level. Like, did you ever see the Road Warriors, like, not match the energy levels?
Well, one guy just always put his tongue out.
Well, they maybe, but they still did shit. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Oh, the world is changing, Jeffy, tonight. We're going to catch up with Good Brother Chef Ryan Peters down there in Pittsburgh. Down there. He'll understand what I'm talking about, and I'm using my Pittsburgh accent. Down there.
Pittsburgh slang.
That's right. The Yinzer's down there. But he's a great brother, man. I miss talking to him. It's been too long since I've talked to him. He's, fucking young gunslinger out there, keeping it real, doing some great shit. Also killing it on the Instagram. Not the Instagram game. The TikTok game, Jeffy.
That's right. That's the TikTok dude right now, man. Chef TikTok. I can't wait to talk to him. I love the TikTok.
Nickname, Chef TikTok.
Yo, I love this dude. I've been watching his TikToks all day. And I'm like, he's killing it too. He's got like hundreds of thousands of views.
Man, that's insane. Gotta get that TikTok money. So we're gonna talk to Good Brother Chef Ryan Peters here shortly. Plus, we got your phone calls. You called in, you gave us messages. Our question of the week was, we were talking about what chefs inspire you, past and present, like the most influential chefs. And we got some voicemails from some great people. Should be fun to play those, Jeffy. The new voicemail service. We're stepping up in the world.
Absolutely, man. We're blowing up. We're doing big things out here. Voicemail. Now you can reach us.
That's right.
You can leave us a message. I want to hear your critiques. I want to hear your fantasies. I want to hear your dreams, people. Lay them on me.
Oh, that's right. When it comes to dreams, you got to call the one person that I know that I used to call the dream maker. Call Chef Jeffy. Let him know what's up. You hit him up on that voicemail. That's right. I wish I had the number memorized. I could just say it. 533-2501 or something like that.
Yeah. 203-533-2501.
That's it. All right. There you go. This week, friends, on the other show, the NPR show Seasoned, that I do with my lovely friend.
What a great show.
Marisol Castro. Oh, thanks, Jeffy. We talked about pizza and the love of pizza, where pizza came from, and, you know, talked to some pizza greats here around the New Haven area, and it's a great episode. Yeah. Check it out.
And we're going to get the pizza great on next week, actually.
Yo,
here's on our show, which is like, thank you, NPR. Thank you, Plum. Yeah. We get New Haven's legend, Colin Kaplan.
Colin
gonna be on
Kaplan.
The show with us.
Yeah, dude. His book is called New Haven Pizza, and he just produced a movie that's getting screened everywhere right now called Pizza: A Love Story. It's a fucking dope movie, man.
It sounds like my whole life.
Yeah, And this dude, just wait. I mean, listen, I know when I told you, you're like, what kind of dude is this? But the way you talk to him, it goes deep, bro. Like, this dude, he goes fucking
we're
deep.
Already friends just on the email.
Yeah.
He's one of those kind of guys. He's very warm.
Oh, 100%. Good dude. Good human being. Has a lot of respect for what we do. A lot of respect for our industry. And, you know, to me, you got respect. You're good with me, bro.
That's right, man. Much like our guest tonight.
Ah, that's true. Joining us shortly here in a little bit, Ryan Peters is going to be on here. Good brother. He's been on the show a couple years ago. We had him on and then, you know, kind of kept up with him. So looking forward to catching up with him some tonight. But Jeffy, I know you're not a sports guy, but I'm a massive football fan. You know that.
I'm really into fencing and UFC, curling, Vladimir Schnicklow. The curling champion.
I think you, me, and Dave would be the perfect curling team.
Absolutely.
Don't you think we'd be a good curling team?
You ever seen me sweep?
Yeah. Well, we used to call you the cleaner back in the day.
Dude, get the fuck out of here.
Come on. Nothing? What happened? I give you a speed bump there.
No, I was saying, I'm some of the cleaner. I'm sweeping it.
That's right.
I used to shave my head bald and wear one earring just for the tournaments.
Is that what it was? the first outbreak in the NFL has happened. It's week 4. I'm a massive Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That's why this is a story to me. And since this is, you know, I'm part of the show, I'm going to tell my story. But the Tennessee Titans have had a slight outbreak of the COVID. I think they had 5 players. Last time I checked, 5 players and like 9 assistant or whatever people who work in the office have it. And you know, so the NFL is having to postpone this entire game now, which is crazy. Which is supposed to happen Sunday.
Listen, those dirty people in Tennessee aren't wearing masks.
They are.
I think
dirty.
They're above the law. I think they're above the law, and now they're paying for it.
You know who else is in Tennessee?
Dolly Parton.
Our good friend Manit Chauhan.
Oh, absolutely, she is.
But
I love Manit.
Yeah.
She's the best.
So what do we do, Jeffy? Is this what it's going to be from now on? Like, is this what it is? Are things going to just shut down? Like, we'll get moving, things seem good, then all of a sudden, screeching halt? Is that the rest of our lives?
I don't know, man. I mean, people have to die and stuff, I guess. And then when that happens, people freak out, and we got to, I don't know. It seems like overkill to me at this point. You know, I'm kind of getting on your train. I'm like, listen, I'll just wear the mask. Let me just go back to work. I mean, I've been working. I've been really blessed. But, I mean, I know a lot of people who aren't, and there's, like, a lot of parties aren't happening, and it's just... The trickle-down effect is just, you know, I'm just so worried about that. You know, I'm more worried about people dying because they can't feed themselves and, like, people losing their houses and all that kind of shit. I mean, it's going to get real. And it's going to affect everybody because it's just, like, it just goes, it's like a chain reaction, you know? It's like, and I don't know.
Well,
that's the thing that I'm worried about. I want things to open the fuck up, basically.
As parents, you know, it's just, you know, I just think that you know, that being together in school is so good for the kids and having that social aspect of it. And, you know, I think that is more important than people give, you know, credit to.
Absolutely. My kids thrive on being with other kids.
Right.
And able to be out there. I mean, those first 3 months were brutal. Just so brutal. Keeping everyone at home. We had no idea. You know, we weren't really even potting up at that point.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And
it was something else, man.
Yeah, it was really crazy, you know. And people are still living like that, you know. We've definitely loosened the reins a lot, you know. I mean, my one daughter's in school. I know your kids are in school.
Here we're in the Northeast, man. Our numbers are great. Some parts of the country, the numbers are fucking terrible now. Remember when South Philly first started? We were the end of the world. Like everything was falling apart. But now, you know, here in the New York area, we have some of the best numbers there are now.
Yeah, and that's scary though too, because that shit can spread from them back over, right? I mean,
we ain't coming back. One-time deal, Jeffy.
Well, I mean, if all these people have it in like Tennessee, and then what if some of them Tennessee people come back over and get the people in wherever?
They can't come in, man. They got to quarantine for 2 weeks. If you drive in, that's one thing. But if you fly in, go to an airport now, man. It's fucking crazy. They stop you. Any flights coming in, they get stopped. You have to fill out a paperwork and all kinds of shit.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We live in Nazi Germany now, brother. You fly in, you got to fill out your paperwork so we know where you came from and everything can be contact traced. I'm remarkably really? Okay with that. Fuck it. Yes, do that. Some motherfuckers don't come here and get us sick again. We got rid of it.
I want to do something, man. It's just getting wild.
It is getting wild. But the good news is, at least in our area, things are opening up more. I think New York is up to 50% inside dining now, and Connecticut just opened up to 75% indoor dining. So
yeah, I've been walking all over the West Side, just like doing a few laps and stuff. And it's actually less crowded than usual.
Yeah, there's weird. A lot of people didn't come back, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a little weird.
Tribeca, there's nobody down there.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Well, look, let's take a little breather here, pop the top on a cold one, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by the one, the only Chef Ryan Peters. Looking forward to talking to him. You're checking
Absolutely.
Out Plum Love Foods Live here on October 1st, 2020. You know, in the radio world, I've learned from NPR, Jeffy, I'm supposed to say, if you say the date, it's supposed to make it seem more impactful. So if you notice, last week I said it, now I'm saying it. The day of the week.
What is the day?
It's Thursday, October 1st, 2020. The right. best part is that means we only got a couple months left here in 2020. So good news on that. Only a couple months
good
left.
Good news.
That's good.
Good news.
That's right.
Hey, why doesn't everyone take a minute to follow our next guest, Ryan Peters, PGH, on his Instagram? Or if you're a TikToker like myself, at Peters Pasta.
Ooh, that's a nice name. That's a nice name. And we're going to be joined by him. Chef Ryan Peters, and we come right back. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff. Stay right there. I'll be right back. Oh, yeah, Dave. Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco, and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM. That's ErgoChef.com.
Plum Love Foods Live. Serious chef talk. Chef Plum.
I was a pro wrestler and a Laser Quest champion.
Chef Jeff.
People like me a lot.
Chef Dan.
Man, all that hard salsa, man, got me bench pressing Yorkies.
Chef Rob.
I'm bougie.
The Hulkster.
Brother, how is Arby's scarfing down a chicken cordon bleu?
Chef Dave.
I don't have AIDS. I have Lyme disease. It's different.
Plum Love Foods Live every Thursday at 10 p.m. on Spreaker Radio and podcasted everywhere.
I have no idea why people listen to this.
It's new, it's improved, it's powdered water!
Powdered water! Our team of scientists and water specialists have toiled many long hours to develop a complicated and proprietary formula. But the wait is over! Powdered water is here! It's totally organic, gluten-free, it's cleaner than Lake Manitoba. Powdered water! We took powdered water to the streets of New York City.
To New York City.
And let some lucky people try powdered water.
I don't get it. Do I sniff it?
Powdered water.
So I add it to my water and it makes it taste better.
Powdered water.
Powdered water's amazing. I can feel the difference now. Wow.
Wait.
Wow.
Is that good?
Just read it.
Powdered water.
Powdered water may cause fits of hysteria, hip dysplasia, hypertension, restless leg syndrome, lupus, loss of toes, AIDS, insomnia, demonic possession, but in some cases,
it may stay wrong.
A Sizzle Plate product.
Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Thursday, October 1st, 2020. It's your boy Chef Plum, Chef Jeff.
Yo, yeah.
Let me tell you what. I like coming in after the beat drops, Jeffy.
I love that.
It's my thing. I don't know. Joining us now.
I like the new beats.
It's good,
buttery,
right?
Buttery beats, babe.
I like that shit, too. It's like buttery a little bit. Kind of. This is my man, who is this? Dama Beats with a Z. That's this dude's name. I think so. Or is it out of line?
Dama?
Either way, that's what we got.
It might be a girl. Dama's is a
I think it's a girl.
Dude, that'd be even better. That'd be even better. Joining us on the program tonight, you got a young hustler, a young culinary gangster. He's killing it out there in Pittsburgh, making some amazing food. He's one of the most humble gentlemen that you'll ever meet. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet as well. He's got a new baby on the way. We're very excited about that. He's also still out there killing it. Killing it. Legit killing it, Jeffy, on that TikTok game right now. Please welcome to the program, Chef Ryan Peters. That's right. Chef, good evening. How are you, man?
What's up, boy? Chef Plum and my new friend, Jeff. What's up, guys?
Living the dream, brother. How you been? Everything good?
Hanging in there another day. We're getting through 2020.
Yeah, hey, look, the good news is we're almost there, brother. I hear you talking. We got, what, 3 months left? We're almost there.
We're almost there. We're almost to the end.
That's right. That's right. We're gonna be down there. That's my Pittsburgh accent.
That's your Pittsburgh accent coming out, bro.
That's it, man. Brother, great to hear your voice. I know you're doing killer things out there. I can't wait to talk to you about them. But right off the bat, yeah. Man, obviously it's a little bit different show than it was last time you were on, huh?
Yeah, oh yeah.
We're a little more fancy now.
You guys are stepping it up.
We have music. I'm looking at two computers in front of me right now, brother. That's the crazy part. Like I'm and my phone. Yeah, I'm fancy. Listen, but speaking of fancy and being with the program, dude, you are crushing TikTok right now.
It's going well. It's going very well, which is weird. It's a weird platform to be on, but I'm embracing it, taking advantage of it.
I mean, can you talk about a little bit what you do on TikTok? We're going to talk about this stuff too, but I just this whole thing started because of the TikTok thing. So I just, you know, I got to figure out like how did you start doing it? What are you doing on there? You know, just kind of give people a rundown of how it works for you.
Yeah, so I mean the last time me and you talked, Plum, I was still down at the club in Florida doing kind of more fine dining stuff, banquet stuff, all that stuff, and then you know, in the past 2 years or so, I switched to kind of focusing on pasta and pasta only. And so about a year ago, I was hanging out with my little brother. He's a college kid, and he was talking to me about TikTok. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about, bro?
Right.
So I downloaded it because he was, you know, spending the weekend here in Pittsburgh with my wife and I, and he was showing it to me, and I was like, oh, I'll make a TikTok. And, you know, I always, you know, would document all the pasta I'd make, and I had a video of, you know, rolling some cavatelli, and I posted it, and overnight it got like 500,000 views.
What?
I was like, huh, on my first video, you know? So
wow.
I was like, huh, there might be something here. Now, mind you, that's kind of rare. That's not everybody has that, you know, that luck on their first video.
Right.
And yeah, so that was about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, I posted that, and ever since then, it's TikTok has taken a large chunk of my time.
Wow.
I bet.
That's insane. Now, how does it work on TikTok? I'm not a TikTok guy. Like, I need to get in there, Jeffy. I don't do enough TikToking. My kids do it.
You do.
They're telling me Instagram's lame now. So maybe it's officially I'm old. I can't figure it out. I don't want to be that guy, you know, but I got to get on there.
Yeah, TikTok's the place to be. It's cool. So it's all videos, right? So it's all, you know, mostly shorter videos, but you can go up to a minute in length, and, you know, there's all kinds of different, you know, people on there. There's like different, you know, chefs and food creators on there, and then literally.
That was a question. So I was going to ask you. So is there a lot of food content on TikTok now, or is it small but growing?
There is. It's pretty big. It's also weird though, because like how the TikTok algorithm, if you will, it works. It knows the type of videos based on what you're liking and stuff and what you're viewing that you're interested in. So a lot of what I see is, you know, food TikTok videos, but there's a pretty large number of chefs that are really doing great stuff on the app.
Man, now is it like any other social media? Is there a way you can make money off of it in long term, or are we still figuring that out?
No, there's money to be made on TikTok. They recently rolled out like the TikTok Creator Fund. So once you hit, I think it's 100,000 followers, you can apply to be in this, you know, Creator Fund. And if you get accepted, then based on your views and your likes and all that, those metrics, you get paid per view.
No way.
And then there's the normal stuff, just like, you know, brand deals and all that, you know, extra stuff too. So,
oh shit, Ryan's making that TikTok money,
oh,
baby.
Shit. That's right. That's right. It's he's gonna name that baby much, TikTok. That's what's gonna happen.
Motivated. Yeah.
Now, can you broadcast live on it, like you can on Instagram Live or any other things?
So I'm live right now on TikTok.
Yeah, that's why I asked. Yeah. That's the professional
yeah.
host.
Yeah, I figured I. That's right. I got to go live on there now, so my followers on there can kind of get, you know, because a lot of my followers, they see the pasta and they think that, I mean, also mind you too, I really screwed up when I made my account because I named it Peter's Pasta, right?
Oh shit!
My last name is Peter's, first name is Ryan. Everybody thinks my freaking name is Peter.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
Which, you know, it's mistake number one, but there's no going back. I'm in too deep now. You know, I can't change it now.
I just go with it, brother. Just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
We're going to have to just change your name. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, they can call me whatever they want at this point. I don't care.
Well, man, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you, bro. That's great. And the wife, everybody's good? You guys are doing well?
Very good, man. Like I said, I mean, I heard you mention that first kid is on the way, so that's exciting. And just trying to muscle our way through this year as best as we can.
Man, well, you're doing a great job with it, that's for sure. So you're working with pasta now, like at a restaurant in Pittsburgh, is that right?
That's right. So it's a place called Ironborn Pizza. It's one of my good friends owns it. It's a, like a Detroit-style pizzeria.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. So one of our good brothers on the program here, part of the faction, good brother Dave, he's from Detroit, and he's always talking about Detroit-style pizza, and I just yell at him and say there's no such thing. It's just a casserole.
Oh, dude, it's good. I'm telling you, it's good.
Oh, it's delicious.
Different. So, I mean, I can't eat it every day. I can't eat it every week. You know, every now and then I eat it, but I have to be in the mood. My favorite type of pizza is like a Neapolitan.
That's New Haven style, sir.
Well, you know.
Come
tomato,
on.
Tomato.
All right, look. Get your ass to the East Coast. I'll show you, brother.
Yeah, right?
So you're there making this Detroit-style pizza and making pasta?
Yeah, so when he opened up his first like full-service restaurant, he had a takeout location. He wanted to add a pasta program on, so he reached out to me. I was at another restaurant at the time, and you know, like I said, we were good friends, and he knew I was very into pasta at the time, so we decided to kind of join forces and me kind of get a pasta program started for him.
Nice, nice. So how many different types of pastas are you making a day now?
Well, so we opened the restaurant in December and then made it a couple months until this nice little pandemic hit. And unfortunately, we had to kind of stop the pasta program during this just because, you know, staffing issues and we had to really slim down. But at the time when we opened, I kind of built it as like a build your own, you know, pasta dish, if you will. You kind of pick your shape. I had like six different shapes to choose from. You could pick your sauce from like just a classic, you know, red sauce to a bolognese to a pesto to cacio e pepe. You could add on some different options, some like a lemon herb ricotta, a nice piece of roast chicken or some meatballs or whatever, and kind of go from there. So we kind of made it pretty simple. We wanted something to be quick and, you know, that would pair with the pizza program very well. So nothing too crazy, but
I love this idea.
It was working pretty good.
Damn. And yo, Yinzers in Pittsburgh, they love their damn pasta, boy.
Man, spaghetti and meatballs, I can't get enough of it, you know?
Yo, you're making some crazy pastas too. Like peanut butter pasta and yellow mustard pasta and
so, well, that's getting back to the old TikTok game. You know, I'm hustling on TikTok right now, so I gotta do stuff to stay relevant on there. And I mean, what's cool though is like, you know, I added mustard to pasta or Nutella to pasta, but I wasn't just doing it for, you know, shits and giggles. I was genuinely curious. Like, people recommend that I try it, so, you know, I do it, and, you know, some of them are great. Some of them are disgusting. I was making like the peanut butter one. I added peanut butter to pasta, and you know, halfway through, I was like, "Shit, I think I'm making cookie dough at this point."
That's awesome.
But you know, it's fun. It's, you know, it's fun to play around a little bit.
Is your wife like, dude, stop making this?
You know, at the same
pasta.
Time, when that video hits like 4 million views, then it makes it a little bit better, you know?
Yeah, right. That's not that bad. We just got to figure out how to get some money in there from that, man. That's the thing. And I think you're on the way to making that happen for sure. There's got to be an easy way to do it. Jeffy, why don't you tell people where they can follow Ryan at?
Absolutely. You want to, if you're going to check him on his TikTok game, go there right now to Peter's Pasta. And then on Instagram, he's Ryan Peters. PGH.
And he's very excited if you ask him about who's Peter when if his name is Peter when he's making pasta. He likes that.
he actually doesn't like his first name.
No, he just like just call yeah, me it's not Peter, saying. It's Peters. So he likes the plural all the time.
Yeah.
That's right. So brother, you've been in Pittsburgh now for what, about 2 years? You moved out there to do a restaurant, right? Did you do a restaurant for a year?
Yeah, so kind of towards, you know, the end of, you know, me kind of getting sick and tired of club life down in Florida, I was looking for the next big thing to do. And I found out about this. It was, you know, marketed as a food incubator, like a restaurant incubator, if you right. will, in Pittsburgh. It's pretty much a food hall, you know, like a lot of cities have now. And they were looking for chefs for their new class of restaurants. And I applied and, you know, flew up for a tasting, did that whole hurrah, and ended up getting offered a spot for a restaurant. So, you know, talked over with my wife, and we ended up moving up to Pittsburgh to open up a restaurant.
And your wife's a baker, right?
Yeah, so she actually joined me. It was a 1-year contract, basically. We were in there. And she joined me as my pastry chef / right-hand man during that year, which was, well, it was an interesting year between the two of us, to say the least.
You're still married.
When you're working that closely with your significant other. And, you know, that year I worked 365 days straight. I didn't take one day off because, you know, that was my first business, my first restaurant. And I was, you know, as a young chef, I didn't want to see it fail. And, you know, it wasn't the most successful concept by any means. They kind of, you know, the owners of the food hall kind of steered me in the wrong direction with what would work and didn't actually work that well. I mean, we did fine, but
time out. You mean the owners, you know, of a building gave you wrong information on the clientele and what's happening? No.
Yeah, right. They won't get too much into that.
Same thing happened to me one time. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, we got through that year, and I learned a bunch about, you know, owning a business and the value of a dollar when it comes to a business and all kinds of stuff. So it was a fun year.
Well, you learn something from it. That's what you're supposed to do. And here's the thing, man. You know, you were young. You know, you're still pretty young, but that's great. And you've got a bunch of years of experience now under your belt at this. How long have you been cooking now?
I mean, I've been cooking in kitchens for about 10 years. I started when I was 16. I'm 27 now.
Right.
You know, I graduated culinary school at 19 years old. I went to a 1-year program. So, I've really just been trying to get as much out of this industry as I can, you know, whether it be doing, you know, events or competitions or stages or volunteer, just as much as I can, really, to kind of, you know, get my foot into as many doors as possible.
Well, that's the right move. And doing that and, you know, getting as much experience as you can doing different things is definitely, I mean, that shit's going to take you a long way, man. I mean, Jeff and I have been doing this 25 years together, and I mean, just the different things that I've done, different things that he's done, they all get you to the point where you're going to be eventually. You know, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's the truth.
No, absolutely.
And, you know, it's unfortunately in our business, sometimes it takes longer than other businesses. But once you get there and, you know, you're pretty happy. But the difference is we have a lot of fun along the way, I think.
For sure. Absolutely. I agree.
I know I have. So let me ask you, man, so we got a new baby on the way. I mean, you know, maybe the time for trying new things and all that has to slow down a little bit. You know, are you looking to, you know, get deeper into this Detroit style pizza business? Are you looking to do your own thing? Are we hoping TikTok takes off and you become like the next Yan Can cook? Maybe it's Peter Can Pasta. I mean, on TikTok.
I wouldn't say no to the latter. But no, I mean, so before I joined this pizza restaurant, I was working in a fine dining restaurant as the sous chef there. And, you know, I mean, normal fine dining, you know, high pressure, high stress restaurants, working long days, long hours. And I knew my wife and I, we were trying to start a family. And so I knew I wanted to have a little bit better of a quality of life. So when that call came from my buddy to join up with them and do the pasta program, I knew that that would come along with that better quality of life that I was looking for. Yeah. So,
and give you some creativity.
A lot of people, when I, exactly, it still gave me that creativity. And a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people, when I announced that move, they were like, what are you doing? Why are you leaving fine dining? That's what you want to do. And it just, it really takes a lot out of you. There's a lot of sacrifice. I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice in this industry as a whole, but in that type of restaurant, it's a lot. So I took this move to kind of start giving myself that better quality of life. But at the same time, when I sat down for coffee with my buddy to talk about this potential of joining up with him, you know, we both kind of went into it with the understanding that he knew that this was not what I want to do. I don't want to be working at this pizza restaurant for a while, that I have my own dreams of, you know, doing my own thing. So it's cool to know that I have someone that is supportive in me doing that. So whenever the time is right, you know, I have that support.
That's great, man. And obviously they took care of you through the whole COVID thing too, right? You kept working the whole time or no?
Yeah, I've been working. I haven't, you know, had any laid off or furlough or unemployment or anything during this whole thing. So I've been fortunate. You know, at times, you know, it's been stressful and everything. You know, we lost a bunch of staff.
Yeah.
But I've been fortunate enough. I mean, just to be working every day, you got to be grateful for that.
There's good people down there in Pittsburgh, Jeffy. Good people down there.
Absolutely.
It's not too bad, huh?
it's good, man. It's good. And Bobby, spelled down D-A-H-N-E, Don.
That's right. All the yinzers will tell you.
Oh, yeah, the yinzers will let you know right off the bat. Well, Chef, what do
you
ask?
Who are the who's? Say that again. The word you keep saying, I don't understand it. What is it? Say it again.
The yinzers.
Yinzer.
What is that?
It's not. It's like y'all or you all. It's yinz.
Yeah, if I knew what the hell it actually meant, I'd tell you. I don't think anybody in Pittsburgh knows what the hell it actually is, but that's what they call everybody. It's
Oh, so it's like dude or something?
No.
So like, yinz.
Yeah, like nothing.
Let me use it in
like
a sentence
for you.
How do they
say it?
I'll use it in a sentence for you, Jeffy. Ready? Ready? Here we go.
Yeah, hit me.
Yinz want to go to the bar and get a beer?
You yinz.
Or...
Yeah, hey. Like if you know, nothing beats when I'm at the grocery store with my wife and we're cashing out, and the cashier is just like an old yinzer, and they look at us. Yinz find everything all right.
Yinz find everything all right. Wait,
like, yinz finds everything all right.
What's the grocery store? It's not Harris Teeter, is it?
Giant Eagle.
Oh yeah, no, but it's John Eagle. Wait,
John Eagle. Go downtown. Go up to Mount Washington.
I love it.
You just want to go downtown, go down to the point.
That's it right there.
It just means somebody from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's like y'all.
Yeah,
it's like
saying the word y'all. In case you didn't know, the Pittsburgh football team, it's not the Steelers.
Stillers.
It's the
Stillers.
S-T-I. Stillers. S-T-I-L-L-E-R-S. The Stillers. Oh,
all right. Well,
man.
God bless Pittsburgh, man. God bless them down there. Pittsburgh, God bless them.
Listen, Jeffy, I know you
there's
had a
probably
terrible...
a lot of lead in the water. I mean, all the steel down there and all that.
Let me tell you something. I know you had a terrible experience in Pittsburgh, Jeffy, but I'm telling you what.
the water?
Down there, the water, that's more of a Delaware thing, but they say it kind of like that in Pittsburgh, don't they, Ryan? Water?
Yeah, I'm
from Long Island, so I, you know, whatever. I don't know what to tell you.
You guys just put words together that don't even make sense sometimes.
Totally.
Yeah. Well, now that we've gotten through all of our Pittsburghese downtown.
I love it. I have a good friend from Pittsburgh.
Well, you had a terrible experience in Pittsburgh, didn't you?
Yeah, a couple. I got hit by a cop right in the face. Terrible. I was lipping off, and I was in a nefarious neighborhood doing nefarious shit, but I still got hit right in the face.
No,
hurt bad.
Yin's Pittsburgh cops down there downtown. They don't like you, Long Islanders.
All right, he told me to go back to the suburbs before I got myself killed. It was It was in the late 90s.
Look here. Jesus. Ryan, let me ask you, man. I mean, as much, you know, you're putting in a lot of hours. You have put in a lot of hours. You've worked your ass off in the industry. You've done a lot of different things. You're up and down, kind of moving around. Now you're settling down a little bit, brother. What motivates you every day to get out of that bed and keep going and making pasta and keep creating?
Well, I mean, you know, it fluctuates every day. With, I think, this whole industry, you can get motivated, you know, by the smallest thing. I could poach an egg tomorrow morning for breakfast and get motivated by that. You know what I mean? Just, you know, a perfectly poached egg or whatever. But for me personally, when it comes to what I do and kind of focusing on that with pasta, you know, I've kind of really been focused on it for about 2 years now. And it's kind of, you know, become this obsession of, you know, really learning this craft and understanding, you know, the roots of it and the history of it. So, you know, I'll go through like a couple week period of just kind of really working on one different shape, you know. So being able to wake up every day and know, you know, okay, I'm going to go make this pasta dough tonight. I'm going to roll it out when I get home from work. And then we're going to make, you know, 400 farfalle until we get the exact pinch right and the pressure right and the thickness right and all that kind of stuff. So for me, that, you know, on a, you know, specific level, that's kind of what motivates me right now, is just this craft of pasta. But in a general sense, you know, I mean, especially going back to TikTok, everybody thinks on there I just make pasta. I'm this just crazy pasta guy. But
Peter's pasta, cooking,
especially at home. Yeah, Peter's pasta. So just like that, cooking all kinds of stuff, or seeing something at a farmer's market. Just even on Instagram, scrolling through and seeing something that a buddy makes that's like, man, that looks good. You know, that kind of, it's just a quick little motivation, you know, it keeps you going.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. I love it, man. I love it. Jeff, you got anything for Chef here? Talking pasta, talking Yinzers, talking Pittsburgh.
I'm looking at his Instagram and his TikTok all day today, and I'm telling you, I knew your love for Detroit style pizza. I didn't want to believe it was true. At first when I saw it. Yeah, but it looks a little crispier and a little thinner, like a little less casserole-y. I don't know, because I've had a couple, man, thick as a brick.
So I mean, ours isn't too thick. I mean, it's thick, but I think my buddy, the owner, he really has tried to market it as Detroit inspired pizzeria.
So it's really like
from Detroit,
Pittsburgh pizza.
I don't know if we could say that either.
It's a Yinzer pizza inspired.
But, you know, it has – exactly, yeah. So it's got, you know, the Detroit influences and stuff, but ours is definitely a lot lighter of a dough, of a crust.
It looks amazing. I'm only breaking balls. I hope you know that. I mean, it looks amazing.
Oh, no, I know it. He's done a good job of building up almost a cult following for his pizza. So that's,
yeah, awesome. And your pasta, you look like you, I mean, you're saying like, oh, you're trying to figure out the you're mastering the craft and shit. What else do you want to do? I mean, you want to make it fly? It looks awesome. I mean, it's like it's fucking crazy. It's beautiful. No, I mean, it's gorgeous.
I do appreciate that.
I mean, you guys, everyone, get out there right now. Follow him on Instagram right now. Ryan Peter PGH. Give him a follow. You're not going to be disappointed. His shit is fire. I mean, it's really crazy. You could like teach how to make this stuff. I would take a class. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had people reach out, and I've done a few different like virtual classes and stuff. But to be honest, I'm just still trying to get a better understanding of the craft myself. I mean, yes, I have been doing it now, and I'm doing it pretty well. But there's just, pasta to me is one of these, you know, facets of the industry, of this culinary arts, that is just so much bigger than it appears to be. Like, you think of pasta and you think of, you know, spaghetti and penne, but it's just, there's so much to it.
Oh my god, right? Yeah,
it's
once you get into like real like extruders and plates and like that, all that,
and then like it's weird because like different regions of Italy will have like there's like regions of Italy that will have the exact same shape, but they call it something different, and then it's not actually the same shape anymore. It's, you know, it's a weird place.
Wait a minute, are you telling me a bunch of Italians like, can't agree on something?
I was gonna say,
yeah, right? Wild, crazy.
Capicool, Capicool, Capaga, hey.
Right.
Well, check it out, man. Honestly, listen, I just appreciate the hell out of you, man. I'm always inspired whenever I look at your Instagram and see what you're doing and what you got going on. And then when my kids hit me up and said, hey, check out this awesome pasta video, I was like, that's my dude. I know him. I was like, I haven't talked to him. I got to hit him up. So we're glad you could take a few minutes here and join us on the show. I'm going to send you a text a couple of days, man. I got a company I know that I work with that I know with the baby coming, a little extra dough wouldn't hurt anybody. They do virtual classes. They book people for virtual classes for big companies like Microsoft and stuff. I think that you know, you doing a pasta class, don't you think, Jeffy? Like that would be really great.
That would be huge, dude. I think people would flock to it.
They would eat that shit alive, man. Yeah, so I'd love to get you in touch with them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be great. I appreciate that.
You got it, man. Well, listen, we appreciate the hell out of you, brother. Much love to you. Much respect to you. Great to hear your voice. Glad to hear things are going so well. I look forward to chatting with you down the road. And let's not make us so long this time, all right? What do you say? We'll keep in touch.
I couldn't agree more, man. I appreciate it, Plum. Jeff, it was great meeting you and chatting with you guys both. It's been
absolutely fun. Man. Hey. When they lighten up more of this shit, I want to make it down to Pittsburgh.
Please, I would love to have you guys both down here. Make some pasta, some pizza, and just kind of have some beers. Chill.
I love all those things, but I'm not making that Detroit-style pizza casserole bullshit. All right, I'm going to make you pizza.
You can go back and forth on that for hours.
That's right. All right, Ryan, we appreciate the hell out of you, man. I love talking to you, man. We'll catch up down the road, all right?
All right, guys. I appreciate it, guys.
You're the
man.
Thank
you.
Thank you, brother. There he goes, Chef Ryan Peters. I love talking to that dude, man. Isn't that a good brother right there?
Dude, what a great guy. I can't believe we haven't had him on sooner. He's like a just cool-ass dude, man.
He's
and
a good
he's
dude,
like
right?
Super humble. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. Learning the craft, you know. I'm like, what are you talking about? Learning.
Yo,
it's amazing.
You're getting half a million views on your TikTok video. You're doing all right, homie.
Yeah, but the other thing is it's like, you know, I know Instagram and you know, Facebook and all that kind of, and whatever, TikTok, I'm sure it's like the best of your stuff. You don't see a lot of the fails, but he's nailing it.
It's amazing. Well, I just thought it was hysterical how my kids were like, yo, Dad, look at this. And I was like, oh my, that's my dude. He's killing the game down there, man. I mean, yeah, he's just a guy. When I first talked to him the first time, I just, you know, I hit it off with him. I liked him a lot. And, you know, to be such a young hustler in the game, you know, a young culinary cowboy, if you will, killing it, doing what he's doing. He's very humble. He's worked at some pretty big name places. And, I mean, make no mistake, the dude can fucking go in the kitchen. He's pretty talented. His food looks amazing. He's a talented guy when it comes to making pasta. And when he gets into something, that brother's all in.
I love it.
That's what's up. That's what's up. That's what's up. Great conversation, Chef Ryan Peters. Make sure you check him out at Ryan Peters PGH on the Instagrams and, of course, on the TikTok. What's his TikTok?
Peters Pasta.
On the TikTok, baby. I thought that was pretty good.
Peters Pasta.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I don't know.
Dude, super fun. Super fun guy. I want to hang out. I want to have a Plum Loaf Foods Festival and get some of our favorites all together and like have them do like demos and just like blow it out somewhere and just have some like kick ass shit.
I mean, how awesome would that be, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing.
Daniel-san!
Oh. Who saw this coming, Jeffy?
Well, I smelt it. There's a lot of smoke.
Somebody said Detroit-style pizza. All of a sudden, strobe lights start going off, and smoke starts going off, and steam everywhere. And is that color smoke I see now? What the hell is that? Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Chef Dave. Hey, Dave.
What, I told you. I told you.
David.
You know, I want to point out, just because I love you, I didn't ask him what the temperature of the oven was.
900 degrees. Anyway.
Get the fuck out of here. Don't make me call him back right now.
don't.
Seems a little
anyway.
Extreme.
Seems a little rough. Seems a little rough. I don't know. Great conversation, though, man. He's a good brother down there, Dave. Did you enjoy that convo?
Yeah, that was awesome.
He's a good brother. Also,
I blew up his Instagram. He's probably like, who's this psycho? I just kept liking all the stuff I saw on there.
It's your new boyfriend.
I pretty much did just like the Detroit pizzas. I went through and I liked every single one of them.
That's nice. Not his shit, really, though, right?
I like the pastas, too.
That's nice of you.
Yo, that's his man. Also joining us right now in the program, the incomparable, if you will, Chef Dan. We got almost the whole faction here right now. That's your key, Dan, to talk.
Nope, you got to turn it up, Dan. I can't hear you, Dan.
You got to turn your input up, brother. He's got a new microphone, so we got to give Dan the benefit of the doubt.
Got to be that guy.
You get that volume up.
You got to get close to that mic. Talk into it, puppy.
Hello.
And we got
there you. Go.
You're a little quiet, but we got you.
Hello?
There you go. That's much better, yeah. Yo,
I got to get all up in this shit. Holy, I'm making love to this mic. Okay.
That's how it is. A lot of them are, man.
It's monodirectional and unidirectional.
Much better.
Great conversation with Chef Ryan Peters there, Dan, talking all about pasta in Pittsburgh. How much pasta do you make, Dan? You make a lot?
Not as much as I like, but probably more than I should eat.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, you know, pasta, I'll be throwing it down. I got the little pasta machine. I got it from my great aunt from Italy. So every now and then, I got to feel like I'm back in Italy and doing my thing.
What do you mean in Italy? You were never in Italy. What are you talking about back in Italy?
Yeah, I was there like three times making pasta. So I'm like, oh, back then. Before that, I didn't know shit about pasta. All my mom did was make tomato sauce and spaghetti all day. Born in Italy, my mom can't cook for a goddamn life, and it's fucking annoying. So I had to learn to cook myself. So I had to go to Italy to learn how to cook Italian because my Italian mother couldn't teach me how to cook Italian.
Damn.
That hurts.
That's hurtful. That's all harsh, man. That's all harsh.
It's okay. Hey, man, you know what it is.
Well, we put it out there.
Made you the man you are.
On the Instagrams and on the brand new call-in number. To call in and tell us some of the might be one of the most influential chefs, past, present, and future. We put that on Instagram. You boys saw it, right? You guys, everybody saw that.
Facebook. I even put it out there on the Facebook.
I forgot about the Facebook.
It was everywhere.
It was out there, and we got some phone calls in. But I thought maybe we run through the faction here a little bit and get some input from what you guys think, man. I mean, a lot of chef choices out there, you know. And listen, we can straight up be ESPN here and make a hot take if you want. Don't worry about it.
Just go all in?
We can. So, look, here's what we'll do. You know, listen, we'll go around the table here with the boys, and, you know, maybe we'll do one of us, you know, and then we'll do a take on it, and then we'll play one of the voicemails from someone who called in, and we'll all give our opinions on it. How about that?
I love it.
Sounds great.
Anybody volunteering to go first? Oh, the young man there in the front. With the beard and the very jolly, happy face. Jeffy, is that you?
Is that me? I'm there. American flag behind
all three of us.
I was going to say. Could be any one of us.
Well, all three of us.
Well, Well,
hold on. Let's go down the list of things that are different.
I was going to do the same thing. I definitely didn't say the guy with one eye, so Dave's out.
Okay.
I have two eyes, so you wouldn't be able to tell just by looking.
Jury's out. Jeffy just fell over. Dan, I didn't say the gentleman who looks like he's going to eviscerate a human.
Yeah, I know. You lost me at the giant smile.
That's right, because you have a tiny smile that's very Hannibal Lecter-ish.
It's very, very yes. It's just a thin line where I'm like, oh, one edge gently just curls in an upward direction when I am pleased.
That's when I am pleased. But Jeffy, however, has a great, jolly smile. He's always happy and loving to see everybody, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
So, Jeffy, if you had to pick a chef who you think might be the most influential chef, past, present, and future, I mean, who do you think it would be? For you. There's no right or wrong answer, obviously, but for you.
For me, there was
I mean, most influential chef in the kitchen for me was the guy that I learned under, Danio.
Yeah.
And maybe this other guy, Sean Williams, and my buddy.
What about Big Scheme, like kind of on a global level, not just on a personal level?
On a global level, I mean, honestly, I mean, Bourdain's book kind of like changed my life. And then Thomas, and then when I also got Thomas Keller's French Laundry book, it really like changed how I plated and made me think differently about like how I wanted to make the flavors work, and you know, his whole theory of not letting people get bored.
All right, I look, Thomas Keller, you won't find an argument from me there. Dave, your thoughts on what Jeff just said?
Yeah, that's what's up.
Thanks, Dave. You can always go to Dave for those hot takes, can't we?
That's Dave, man. Dave, hot take. That's it. No more. Young David, hot take. Yeah,
Young David with the hot take. Dan, any comments there on that?
Yes, that was a fantastic list. I think going to people that are closer to you, people that you feel more connected to right now in this current day, feels like more influential to me personally, because I think that right now everyone has become very communal. I think everyone is within their community much more than they have been in a long, long time. So when Jeff naturally goes to people that he's familiar with because of his constant interactions with that person, it's going to tend to be something that's going to be bigger than, you know, what it would have been last year. And because I first two people I thought of were people that were very close to the area, and so I could totally get that where he's come from with that.
Right. All right. Well, there you go, Jeffy. That's your.
That was.
That's it.
That was a.
Sorry, I got deep.
Yeah,
you did. I love talking about the people who are, you know, kind of who mean a lot to you on a personal note, on a personal level. I agree with that. I think that's a great way to take it. And listen. You know, anything you talk, you know, French Laundry, Thomas Keller, I mean, no one's going to argue that with you for sure, ever. There's nothing really to argue there. However, you know my feelings on the Bourdain thing, man. I've talked about it a million times. you know, it's tough for me personally.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because you were attracted to him.
But he is an influencer. You're saying it's clearly influencer. I mean, no matter whether you like him or not, he's definitely an influencer.
Okay. Dan coming in with a solid point. You know, definitely influenced the industry for sure. I can't disagree with that. I would definitely agree with reading, you know, Kitchen Confidential was definitely a life-changing book, sort of a memoir in sorts, probably for all of us for as long as we've all been in the kitchen. But Dave, did you ever read Kitchen Confidential?
It's on my nightstand, but I haven't finished it yet.
Did you get through the table of contents or no?
I got past that, man. I got like, I think I'm like 32 pages in, and then I'm just kind of.
The book's got 800 pages.
No, it doesn't.
Damn.
It's made for chefs, bro. It's definitely not a lot of words.
I'll tell you what that book did for me. It made me follow up with Michael Roman's book, Soul of a Chef.
Soul of a Chef. Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a great book. But, you know, that's all I got. I don't know. I don't think the back end of Anthony Bourdain's career was not good for our industry.
I think it was a thing of what actually goes on. It the industry's kind of glamorized, but then at this point you're like, oh, shit's real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Well, Dave, how about you? What's some influential people to you? Well, actually, we should play a voicemail now, aren't we?
What? Yeah, do a voicemail.
Yeah, play the voicemail.
Dave had no answer. Dave,
who goes? No, I had an answer.
Thanks, bro. I couldn't hear you.
Dan, go into your network settings, into your on your MacBook, go into your system preferences, and go to input and turn the input volume up.
This is tech support with Plumla Foods Live.
Please hold. All right, hold on. Where are we at here? All right, here we go. I'm going to play the first one here we've got. You guys ready?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
This is an easy answer. It's Chef Jeff. I know him personally, and I think unintentionally he got me started along my own journey with food and understanding it. That's kind of how life goes. And if it wasn't for him, I mean, the obvious choice is some other big celebrity, but they haven't impacted me by actually knowing me and having a show and encouraging me in my own food journeys. So once again, Chef Jeff. Chef Jeff, Chef Jeff.
Wow. Jeff, your mom called. She wants you to call her back later.
I'm not sure if you...
What a great message. Look, I think that's along the same lines of when you talk about people who are personally influencing your life when it comes to being a chef. And clearly this gentleman didn't say his name or who he was, which I wish they did. We should tell people to tell us their name. But to call in and say those, I mean, some kind words there for you, Jeffy.
I think I know that guy. That's Maximilian on Maximili, I think, on Instagram is his thing. It's my good buddy Max Lerner. Good brother of mine. Him and my brother actually are good friends. And
well, I think that's pretty cool to have someone.
Yeah. Max period I period million M I L I A N underscore.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the cool thing about that, man, is that when you have somebody local, you know, talk about a chef who affected them personally, that's a local type chef or a chef that they worked for or something have an effect on them. I mean, that's what it's about in the end, Dan, to have that effect on somebody, don't you think?
Absolutely.
At least in my opinion.
That's what, you know, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm like, they can't hear me now. No, you're right on. I mean, I think how you influence people is why you become a chef. I think you kind of most of the chefs I've ever met have a desire to, I don't know, want to show and prove who they are. It's always kind of I can do better than I did last time. And I think naturally through that you influence people, and it kind of gives you that feeling of strength when you feel like you've given somebody the desire to do more and build on the things that they've seen you do. And I feel like that's just a great feeling. So overall, that's something you strive for as a chef. So I think having that, you know, layout for many chefs is putting them right where they want to be.
There you go, Jeffy. I agree with Dan completely right there.
Yeah, I hear Dave, it, man.
Dave, what about you, man? Who's influential? What do you think?
There's a lot of them, because, like, Grant Atkins, for one. And it's not like because Alenia, but it's like he's from Michigan, so like to see someone from Michigan come out and do crazy shit like that, that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Was it Daniel Balloon and Daniel Hume too? And Daniel Hume's actually doing a lot of the like charity work right now with what is it, Rethink, during the pandemic.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. And then like even when I'm eating in New York, I get like influenced by stuff like what was it when we were eating at Jeff's buddy spot, Kino. Like, I was getting influenced by his food, like, just ideas, so.
Yeah, Kino's the man.
Kino's pretty dope.
So just kind of getting out there and looking at some of these great chefs, you know, New York-style chefs and people who are making it big that are from, you know, where you're from, kind of help influence you, you know, and make you want to do better. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, pretty much.
Jeffy, what are your thoughts on Dave?
Well, I think Dave is super sexy. He's tall. I think those are great choices. I mean, when people explain why they like a chef.
Oh, wait, one more. Jacques Pepin, because PBS, and like that's why I like that was like one of my first shows watching, like an actual cooking show when I was like 8, because I was like, what the fuck is this? So
yeah,
so
no,
like,
no,
they were all they were all super influential on you. I get it. I totally get it. I mean, so many chefs were so influential on me, you know.
They were what?
I mean,
they were what on you?
Influential.
Okay, sorry. wasn't sure what you said there.
Stop.
And it's, I mean, it was super humbling to hear Max call in and say that, because he's like, he's produced like all sorts of, you know, food stuff, and he's now he's like buying equipment and selling it, and like, you know, just he's such a hustler and such a interesting cat. So to know that I had a hand in inspiring him to do some of that stuff is it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's just from like, you know, making food and hanging out.
That's great. Well, let's play another voicemail here. Let's see. You guys ready? Now, listen, when you guys call in for these voicemails, we got to tell you for the future, make sure, leave us, tell us your name. A lot of these voicemails are answering the question, but not telling us their name. So here we go.
Of course, it's Julia Child from Pasadena, one of the best. She pioneered French cooking in the United States and really helped women a lot. Julia Child. Although Chef Frank Bellotti is pretty good, too.
Well, look, look, everybody in the faction's got some fans. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Hard to argue that. By the way, big shout out to Mike Stye from Ergo Chef. He's on the chat saying what's up. You know, we just to recap, we went there. We put it out there on social media, on Instagram. You know, our new call-in number, we were trying to get some voicemails, some people telling us about the most influential chef, past, present, or future. This gentleman called in talking about Julia Child from Pasadena. Hard to argue that, Dan. Julia Child, you know, it changed everything.
Yeah, she personally influenced me to stop being a piece of shit and to get off my ass, because something about her, I don't know what it was, her mannerisms or her flow or talking about the food, and it just made me want to cook. And it really put me to find that place, because I always had this kind of struggle with what I was wanted to do with my life. And sitting there and watching her was the only thing. My mom will tell you, it was the only thing that kept me calm, because I was a wild child. But, you know, she definitely influenced me, and I missed actually meeting her by like a month, because she came to CIA. I don't know if he was there at that time.
I was
she
there. I got to walk her out to her car. She got. I held her arm and walked her out. She died 3 months later.
Yeah. I was so mad. My mom contacted her too.
What'd you say, Dave?
Oh.
I said, you touching her is what killed her. You killed Julia Child.
That's so fucked up. Come on, man. Jeff, you're not going to get my back here?
A bad Yelp review.
Come
that's
on.
Mean.
Oh, that's a little rough. Jeffy, thoughts on Julia Child?
I love her. Well, she's so great.
Watch her on YouTube. The shit still holds up, man.
No, man, her food is dope, man. That remember that movie that came out a few years ago, Julia, Cooking Julia?
Yeah, I don't know. I never saw it, but I remember that.
It really made me fall in love with her food again. I bought her cookbook, or my brother bought it for me for Christmas, I think, that year or something. And I read it, like, all the way. And her recipes are dope, man. It's like, it's a great reference book for so many different awesome. It's like a, almost like a, what's that other go-to? The reprehensive cooking guide there.
La Gastronomique.
No, the other one, like the home one that has like every home-style recipe in it. Yes, The Joy of Cooking.
Yeah, seven
it's
volumes.
Like, it's like, exactly. I feel like it goes hand-in-hand with like, you know, anything that she does too. But she does like French, and that's like more like American, you know.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Having those two books, those are two great great books.
She's fantastic, no doubt about it. Dave, Julia Child, anything for you?
She's cool. She's cool.
You know, there's a video on YouTube. Thanks, Dave. There's a video on YouTube where it's basically all of Julia Child's appearances on David Letterman, and it's all of them, and they're all kind of like one long video. It's so entertaining. If you haven't watched it, you've got to watch it. She gets on the first one. She gets on there. She's nervous, but by like the third or fourth one, she's running down the Today Show talking about their pots and pans are better than David Letterman's show's pots. It's really fucking funny. Like, she is a complete ball buster, and it was so fun to watch her talk to David Letterman like that. Go back and watch it. It's fantastic. You know, Mike Stive from Ergo Chef is chiming in. One of the best knives on the planet from some of the best knife makers on the planet. Chiming in right here on the chat saying for him it was the Emerald Live Show and his grandmother always cooking for the whole family. God bless her. Well, hey, that Emerald Live Show was far, far ahead of its time, in my opinion, Jeffy.
Emeril is the man. He influenced me a lot. Like the way he cooked, the way he was like all brazen and cool about it made me want to cook.
We've got to get him on the show.
That would be so cool.
I mean, we've got to be able to get Emeril Lagasse on this fucking show.
Somebody can do it.
All right, we're gonna make that happen.
We're gonna make the connection.
I agree. Someone's Emeril worked for him. Emeril's the man. He was the man. He still is the man, and you know, a fantastic guy. Dan, 5-10 seconds on Emeril Lagasse. What do you got?
You know, I'm gonna tell you. At first, I was really jealous of the guy. I was like, I couldn't stand him. I was like, oh, fuck this dude. And then I was like, you know what? Yo, I like his flow, man. Yo, he has something different. He came out, he brought everybody to the attention. He really flowed with the audience. He made it like happen. Like, and he did it live in front of shit. And I remember him doing it with Refrigerator Perry. I was like, oh shit. Yo. This big ass dude on there talking about some cooking chicken wings and shit. I was like, yo, he got everybody on the fucking just standing up yelling, just excited about food, and that's what made him great, and that's awesome. That's something to be said about that.
Go back and rewatch that shit, man. I'm telling you, watch him on YouTube. That stuff holds up. It's really good stuff, man. Really good stuff. I told y'all I pitched PBS a second we could start going back in the studio making television. I pitched them basically doing the Emeril Live show here in Connecticut.
It's amazing.
That'd be dope.
And they were like, let's do it. Second we can. So fuck yeah, I'm getting a DJ or a band, or maybe like Emeril just had a drummer, so I might just get a drummer.
Get a clarinet player.
Yeah, he had a drummer and a clarinet player. That's all he had. Don't you remember? Dude, it was weird.
I think we should get an ill DJ that uses like a turntablist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like somebody who uses like the turntables is like an
instrument. You gotta be careful with that because they can only mix music that has no like rights to it. If they start mixing other music, you get in trouble.
No, they make music by like scratching it. They make the beats with the scratching. You ever hear those guys?
I like that. I like that. I like that.
Turntablism. Those ones. Those dudes that are like.
Dave, Emeril Lagasse for you.
Bam.
All right. Let's get to another voicemail here. Let's get to another voicemail. You guys ready?
Let's do it. Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, a chef back of Knowledge Kitchen. I think my two favorite chefs that influenced myself a lot are Julia Child, for many reasons. She paved the way for a lot of female chefs and loved butter and all the good stuff and just was really herself. And then Marco Pierre White, for many reasons. I'm sure you will have a nice conversation about that. But he was super badass. And I wanted to grow up to be just like him.
King Nala calling in there, gentlemen. King Nala had to drop some
King Nala
for everybody. You know, we've already talked about Julia Child and put her over enough.
Becca
but,
June.
You know, Marco Pierre White, obviously enough can't be said about the guy. I mean, you look at even, I mean, Godfather of Modern Cuisine. Is that a weird thing to say about him, Jeffy?
Yeah, I would say it's. Pretty kind of, I mean, like, I guess hot cuisine, right? He was, like, really into, like, 3 Michelin star, like, British guy. Like, he was really young. That was his thing, right? How old is he when he won it? I can't remember.
24? No.
Why is 24 in my head? In his 30s, I think. I think now 32. There's somebody else.
32.
There you go. 32 years old. He was the first celebrity chef.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. You know, trained, you know, Gordon Ramsay. The first Hell's Kitchen that ever aired was actually with Marco Pierre White, not Gordon Ramsay. You guys know that?
No, I never saw it.
Yeah, he was.
That would be way better.
He was a fucking cunt. Excuse my language.
British.
Was that rough, Jeffy? Sorry, you breathed out quickly.
No.
No, it's. Whenever you say that word, I have to.
Yeah. But very talented chef. I've got a great book from his, if you haven't checked it out, called White Heat. It's a fantastic book. It's stories as well as a few recipes in there about his life. Really, really great coffee table book. Worth checking out. Marco Pierre White's White Heat. You can get it on Amazon for like nothing right now. Dave, Marco Pierre White for you.
Eh.
What do you mean, eh?
Eh. Right, I'm not familiar with his food. That's the thing.
What I'm saying. I was like, I don't really know much about his food. I do remember he came out with a recipe book that used household sauces already, and you could like whip up other fucking sauces.
That's it. Yeah. Well, he's one of those guys too who is, you know, food. He's like, he's never done said food no to Food Network. He doesn't want to be a part of any of that shit.
That's pretty sexy.
Is it, or is it like, dude, you know, fucking take the money?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's not doing it for money, bro.
I don't think he needs the money, dude. He's got like a huge estate, and he has a bunch. He's a restaurateur now. At this point, he's not a chef.
Five wives or something like that.
That seems expensive.
Jeffy, what religion is it where you can have more than one wife?
I don't think I think Mormon.
Polygamy.
Yeah, Mormon.
Mormon, that's right. Jeffy, you're supposed to be the religion expert here. What happened?
Oh, no, I thought you were asking. I didn't hear you say
what
religion.
No one knows about Jesus.
But it's not like... It's...
No, I know a lot about different sects. Mormonism, they believe in polygamy.
He knows about Jesus.
That hurts a little bit.
Yo, Jesus liked them hoes, though, didn't he? Come on, dog.
Yeah. He did. He really did.
He was like, yo, girl, what you got? I turn this water into wine. I ain't got no money, but get on over here.
Yo. Dude,
he was really
almost
nice
spit
to
up a bourbon.
Sorry. Hey, didn't I hear somewhere
he
that
stopped
Jesus...
stopped one from getting stoned.
Didn't Jesus invent the chair?
I've heard that before, too, but I don't know if it's true.
Like, before like Jesus showed up, everybody just sat on a stool, and then Jesus was like, yo... I put a back on it, and we call that shit a chair.
He was a carpenter.
He was, and he invented the chair. That's how he got his whole money.
I don't think this. None of this sounds right.
Let me tell you something. You think Mary Magdalene was coming around with some cheap motherfucker? Hell nah. Jesus is turning water into wine, selling motherfucking chairs.
Bro, he was healing people. He was like walking around.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Exactly.
Let me tell you something. You give enough motherfuckers wine, you tell them you heal them, hell yeah, they'll believe you. Especially if you roll up into a crib with a whole bunch of hoes. Let me tell you something.
You forgot the loaves of bread and the three fish.
See? He's got a bag of fish, a loaf of bread, a whole bunch of wine. He's bringing some chairs
that
he just invented.
He multiplied them for the wedding because of the wine. He's like, water and wine. He's like,
he turned water into wine.
I said that.
And then the multitude was, they only had like a few fish and some bread and like all these people, and he took it and he like broke it and it like fed everybody.
This is the worst story I've ever heard. Mine's better. He rolled up into the crib. He had all these hoes with him, some chairs. Nobody seen a chair. They had stools. All of a sudden he showed up with chairs. They all sat down. They could lean back. They're like, what is this? And he was like, hold up, motherfucker. I got some wine too. He pulls out a bottle of water. They're like, that ain't nothing but some Evian. He's like, nah, watch this. Waved his hand over top of it. That shit turned into red wine. They're like, that's my dude right there. Wherever he goes, that's where I'm going. You know what?
I don't think he made the chair. I think Egyptians might have made that shit.
I love that that's the part of my story you have a problem with.
I do. I have a huge problem with that. I'm trying to figure that. I'm going to fucking look this up. There's got to be like an archaeologist that dug a chair up.
If you like this story, watch the last Hangover on Netflix. It's hilarious. It's about the same story you're talking about. It's so funny.
But don't you think if Jesus rolled up with some hoes. Ew. All right, look. This isn't helpful.
Ew. Yeah, watch it.
Jeffy's going to be.
Dude, they were made like.
So
fucking...
Marco Pierre White had three wives, by the way. He had three wives.
Okay,
he divorced all of them.
Right.
Chairs are made like 3100 before Christ. Egyptians, bro.
Yo, it depends on which calendar you're looking at, homie.
The real one. Like
people
you're
before the
Egyptians.
You're thankful
to Jesus
maybe.
For everything. Oh, I found my suit. Oh.
You have to be. You don't have to be, but I like to be.
All right, let's
play
another voicemail.
Jesus didn't invent the chair.
Yeah, play it.
Looks like this might be another voicemail putting Jeffy over, but let's see what we got.
Of course it is.
Of course. Yeah, Jeff is the man. I like his curly hair.
I would say Jeff Perazzi would probably be the one. His use of red vein sorrel is pretty, you know, we've really never seen anything like in the industry, so that would be my answer for sure.
Who the fuck? What is this?
That's Street Leaf Johnny right there.
Yeah, that's Johnny. Yeah.
That's good, brother. Street Leaf Johnny. And you heard him. You heard him, right? Chef Jeff Perazzi, because of my use of red vein sorrel.
Oh, Jesus. All right, here, let's go to a real answer. Here we go.
I think my name is Yair Lenscher. I'm a private chef. I think the answer is Jose Andres. As far as the number of lives that he has touched out inside and outside of the industry, and changed the way that people can look at chefs and what they can do, not just in restaurants but outside of them, and how far our outreach can go. That's it. Love you, Jeff.
There's a lot of Jeffy fans out there, huh?
That's the kosher advisor himself, Yair Lenchner. Good brother. You know, probably a fan of the show.
Well, Jose Andres is a fantastic answer, though, don't you think, Jeffy?
I think Jose Andres is absolutely a great answer.
This guy's out there legit changing lives. Changing lives.
Yeah, what he's doing right now with food and, like, and his approach to just feeding the people every way he can, really awesome. I agree with Yair a lot on that one. I kind of totally forgot about him.
Let me ask you this question, Jeffy. You're on a raft. You got two life vests, and it's you, Jose Andres, and Jesus Christ. Who are you going to save? Dan, what do you think about Jose Andres?
You wouldn't have to save
life jacket.
Jesus.
That's all he's doing.
You wouldn't have to save Jesus. I mean.
Nah, I love it.
Yeah, because Jesus can like walk on water and shit.
He's an alcoholic. He's too busy turning that shit into wine.
Jesus never drank.
Jose Andres,
son of a bitch.
You can't say he never drank. The motherfucker can make wine.
Sacrilegious some bitch.
Listen.
Just because he's a bartender doesn't mean he's an alcoholic, man.
Dan, Jose Andres.
Yo, honestly, his personality to me as a chef is like top notch. Like he's one of those guys that every time you see him, every time you hear about him, it's in a good light. He's about the people. He cooks. You could tell he's one of those chefs that cooks for people
and
their enjoyment of what you make, and that's what he gets the thrill off of, and you see that, and I think that is something that's like deeper than, you know, a lot of people understand. Like when you cook for other people. Even when you cook for yourself, you're really hoping that everybody like really enjoys what you're doing, and when he's doing it, he really enjoys doing it, and you can see that in everything he does.
Me too.
That's a good point, Jeffy. I think that you hear what Dan said there. Like he seems to truly enjoy it. I think that goes a long way.
It's absolutely true. That's exactly, you know. Ready?
Let's get real
deep.
My
wife says.
I was waiting for you to finish.
You're supposed
to hit
the stinger.
Oh.
How did you miss that set, man? If we were playing volleyball, that ball would have hit me in the face.
Because I'm an asshole and I stepped on you while you were talking and didn't hear the setup. It's my fault because I had a joke too and I was like, I'm going to get my joke out. And you were trying to do the same thing. And I
do that all the time, buddy. It's okay.
It's called steamrolling.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Dave.
Steamroller.
Okay, terrific.
Listen.
The steamroller.
Hot. Yeah, exactly. Hot tracks. Hot tracks from the steamroller.
Dave, any thoughts on Jose Andres?
I agree 100% with what everybody just said.
Yo, maybe you should try to go work with him.
That would be cool. I do have some time coming up.
You got some connections to him, too, I'm pretty sure. What's so funny?
I like how he's like, I have some time coming up.
Hey, we're running a little late here, so I want to get this out, man. Dan, your influences, get them out there.
A lot of them were said for me right now. I mean, like Julia Childs, all that's wonderful.
We did do yours, didn't we?
I got to say, Connecticut, John Brennan.
My man. You
know, my man's putting it down. He's, like, changing things. Like, he's going out there. Like, he saw that he had a struggle, and I know him personally, so he has a lot of other things going on.
Fucking warrior.
And then he's handling his business like a fucking G. Like, I can't have nothing but love for that dude. And Tyler Anderson, another one, doing it big. Like, these guys are, like, really changing the whole makeup of how food is done. Like, and putting it – just taking this shit that's going on for everybody and making it work in their benefit. And I think that's going to show for them in the future and fucking large funds. It's just amazing to see.
Fucking warriors, aren't they?
Yeah, for real.
No doubt about it. Listen, I think when you support, let's do it. That's pretty great, actually. I like this idea, Jeffy. Give a couple of shout outs, some you know, maybe unheard of guys,
chefs, unheard of chefs
that you like, yeah,
that I like that influence me. Lots of different people. I mean, I since we've met, good brother Kyle Schutte.
Right?
Kyle Schutte, his food is dope, and. The way he writes recipes, the way he can break his food down into words is something that I struggle to do sometimes. You know, like I'm really good at cooking. Like we're all good at cooking, but to be able to take what you're cooking and quantify it and then write it all out so that somebody else can make it perfect, that's a skill that really. I think that I admire that in him a lot.
Yeah, that's a good shout out right there. I agree with that for sure. That's a good one. That's a damn good one. Dave, what do you got? Sure, it's not radio. Know. Keep the dead air. Good idea.
Hey guys, don't think about one.
What'd you just say?
Don't think about one. Don't think about one at all. So,
I mean,
all right. Can I go? Can I throw another one out there?
Yeah, go ahead. Dave just—he just fell down.
Yeah, my boy Dan Cardos out in—he's in Stratford. Got Orinoke.
Oh yeah,
in Connecticut, Stratford. Mm-hmm. He's doing a few things. He just did this whole live chat with the Make-A-Wish Foundation for some kids, like shit like that. Like you see chefs really doing things that's important for, you know, it's a time when a lot of people could be really selfish, and when you see people doing things like outside of themselves, is when you really understand that what somebody's made of, and that's what you look for in a leader and a chef, and the chef should be a leader, and that's what you want. You want to be influenced by somebody in a positive way. You want to be influenced by the person that they are, and the determination to be better than you thought you could be, because you can aspire to be something more because you see the people around you doing the things that you want to do.
There it is.
And that's, that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm giving local shout-outs, man. I got to shout out my man, Aki Arai. That dude's making some amazing fucking food. We love Aki.
Aki, baby.
He's making amazing food. He's killing it. Also, I'm a big fan. Maybe not a chef so much, but all of our good brothers over at Hoodoo Brown Barbecue, their plates, their platters look amazing. We're still working on getting them on the show, but their stuff just so inspires. Because I love giant plates of meat like that. It makes me so happy. And, hey, from another standpoint here, you talk about chefs that are, you know, influential. I never named mine. Mike Stibe kind of stole my flame a little bit there. I'm a big Emerald guy. I think Emerald's great, but I'm also a massive Jamie Oliver guy. Jamie Oliver changed the face of food on the internet. Jamie Oliver was the first guy that said, fuck TV, started his own YouTube channel called FoodTube and had 3 or 4 million viewers in no time. So gave a lot of people a platform on YouTube to bounce them into other things. So I'm a big Jamie Oliver guy, Jeffy. I like Jamie. Jamie makes simple food. Loves his wife, who's beautiful. He's got 1,000 kids, raising his family. He's good people.
Yeah. That's badass.
Also, shout out to our good brother, badass. DJ Barbecue. Loving DJ Barbecue. His food looks great, too.
DJ Barbecue is the man.
I love those pants. He had that show for a little while where he was trying to go into the school system and teach them how to actually affordably do really good food for kids. And that shit came on, and then that was all you heard of it. Yeah, and that's serious. Like, my kids go to school. Like, you don't really have much control over. I've gone in there and tried to see what they're doing and how they're doing it, and you know, I never want to step on anybody's toes, so I'm just kind of asking questions and stuff. But you know, a lot of it's just this stuff that they always shouldn't be eating, and you know, the kids is always going to tend to go towards the stuff they shouldn't be eating, and it's really hard. And he went out there and he was trying to show them that kids can enjoy foods that are good for them and they will enjoy eating. And I think that changed my perspective on him forever.
Well, we're gonna get I think here on this program, we did him on the NPR show Seasoned, which you can find on anywhere you get your podcasts. Dan Giusti, who has you know changed his entire life and flipped his life upside down to go work and make lunches for kids, and has done a lot of things in New London, New York City, Richmond, Virginia. He's going around changing schools. We're gonna get him on this program too, Jeff. I got to give you his email.
Definitely.
That would be I can't wait to really enjoy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to talk to him.
There it is. Well, friends, that's going to be the show here on this wonderful Thursday, October 1st, 2020. The good news is, Jeffy, we are done with the October 1st, 2020. There's no more October 1st, 2020. This is it. Last one.
October 1st is over.
Tomorrow, October 2nd. October 2nd, which means we are almost done with 2020, which has been the year of the fuck. Is that a word to say? it's just what it is, man. It is what it is. Oh, big shout out to Chef Ryan Peters. Make sure you follow him. Jeffy, where can we find Ryan Peters at on the Instagram as well as the TikTok?
You can find him at Ryan Peters PGH on Instagram and Peters Pasta on TikTok.
Peters Pasta on TikTok. Follow him.
Check them out. He's doing some dope shit.
Sure do appreciate the hell out of that guy. I love talking to him. He's a great human being right there to be on the program and talk to us. He's fantastic. Big shout out to Chef Dan. Find him at Chef One Above All on Instagram. And, of course, Chef Dave. If you're looking for some of that deep, deep intellectual conversation, find him on Instagram at Dave Boredom. And, of course, Chef Jeffy, a.k.a. on Instagram, The Fork King Chef. Make sure you check him out there. Looking forward to another fun show next week. Gentlemen, I appreciate this show. This was a fun program.
Always.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Have a great time. Have a great time talking to all you guys. And you know who else inspires me? All of you guys. Hey. When we all get together. Dan said it the other day on the group text, but I mean, seriously. Good brothers like you doing it.
Text message?
What?
Just private. Like when,
you're out here,
private, bro.
We're out here,
this group text,
we're out here working hard, though, and kicking ass. And like when I hear the stories of how we're all, you know, making shit happen for ourselves and our families, it just makes me really proud, and it makes me want to do better, too, so.
Yo, big shout out to for fucking Dan.
God bless you. Jesus loves you all.
Jesus loves you so much. He's gonna come down to the house with some hoes. He's got some hoes. He got some fucking wine. Let me tell you something. Y'all ever seen that fucking Cadillac Jesus drives?
See how I slid in there though?
Jesus got a fucking
plug. I got selfless Jesus plugs all day. I don't care.
Jesus got 15 horses pulling a Cadillac. That's what he's got.
You put up.
Yo, listen. Hey, if you want to bless me with your religion, I'm cool with it, yo. I don't mind. I don't care. It don't matter which one of them gods want to come. I got all my animals. I got Anubis. I got Aphrodite. And I got Loki. All the gods is cool with me. We all can hang out and party. It's all good.
Let me tell you something. Jeffy's bringing Jesus, and Jesus is riding a low rider pulled by 15 horses, bringing some fucking wine, hoes, and a bunch of loaves of baguette. It's a party, motherfuckers. Get ready. It's Jeffy and Jesus. It's game on.
Hey, you know what?
Or that duck sausage.
Lowrider. I'm going to hang out.
Oh,
see where this goes.
That's the new show coming to CW this fall, Jeffy and Jesus. Be prepared. We're good brothers here, the faction. I'm Chef Plum. We'll see you guys next week. Remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food, even Jesus. Make sure you give the time it deserves. Peace.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.